on TV. Good morning. Morning. Welcome to Barah Ministry. It's a Christian church. I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you with a sincere hope that your faith in Christ Jesus and the unconditional love of our God is being proclaimed from your lips throughout the whole world, especially to those in your periphery who are important to you. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher. It's a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. In John chapter 21, verse 16, the Lord asks Peter, Simon, son of John, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, shepherd my sheep. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher affords me the privilege of being a shepherd, of evangelizing to unbelievers by preaching the gospel message of God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has the Zoe life at that moment. But he who does not believe, does not obey the command to believe in the Son, will not see the Zoe life, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Heaven will not be filled with good people. I've been evangelizing to a lot of people lately, and I ask them the question that I always ask, how do you get to heaven? And the answer is always the same, almost like everybody went to the same school. Well, you know, you just have to basically be a good person. I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. Well, bad news for you is that there are going to be a lot of murderers in heaven. Heaven will be filled with broken yet forgiven sinners, and it will be filled with those who believe. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved and who desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they might use its truth to handle the circumstances of their lives. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one we gather to worship, and He is God. Jude chapter 1, verse 25, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. So Bible study is a time for the refreshment of renewing. It's a time to renovate our thoughts. It's a time to reinvigorate our souls. It's a time to nourish our senses. It's a time to turn our bodies over to God as a living and perfect sacrifice. It's a time to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God so that we can learn how to be a reflection of our Savior's thoughts to a lost and dying world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to Satan's world system of thought. Don't be conformed to this world, but keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. What is it? That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Bible study encourages you to turn away from the world's viewpoint, to adopt God's viewpoint, and to take his viewpoint into the world as a powerful influence. Welcome to a place where God the Holy Spirit prepares you in humility to receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. We have the privilege of having a guest from Salem, Oregon, Aflac, Brett McKay from the New Hope Four Square Church, and he's going to be singing I Am Found.
Thank you. Am I on? Check. it was actually really funny. First off, sorry, your fault for giving me a microphone, but Caleb was asking earlier, well, are you nervous? And I said, no. I said, ever since I've been down here, I don't know if it's all the sunshine, but everyone's so nice. You know, in Oregon, it's too much rain and clouds. No one really, so here. So, yeah, but anyway, June just doesn't want to have to work so hard. That's what it is.
Check, like, check. Is this on? Check.
All right. Just a little background. My brother actually wrote this song, so just want to give that, let that be known before we start, in case you don't like it. So. No. Gave up. Oh, we can't start without a pick. Hold on now. Hold on now. All right. Here we go. You gave up your crown for my shame. On the cross, you cried out my name. You loved me before I could sing. Hallelujah. Broken, the beaten and bruised. Lonely, the lost and confused. Our hearts, Lord, belong to you. Hallelujah. And Father, you pick me up when I am falling, falling down. On my knees in your presence I am found. And Father, you pick me up when I am falling, falling down. On my knees in your presence I am found. Bound, I am finally free. I am saved from my sin and my grief. The day that you died for me. Hallelujah. Oh, unbound, I am finally free. Lord, you saved me from sin and my grief. The day that you died for me. Hallelujah. Father, you pick me up when I am falling, falling down. On my knees in your presence I am found. Well, Father, you pick me up when I am falling, falling down. And on my knees I am found. This is not a game. Your love is wild and untamed. I'm done running from the life that you gave. Oh, and this is not a game. Your love is wild. Wild and untamed. I'm done running from the life you gave. Father, you pick me up when I am falling, falling down. On my knees in your presence I am found. Father, you pick me up when I am falling down. On my knees in your presence I am found. Amen.
Thank you, Brett. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, there is none like you. No one else can touch our hearts like you do. If we searched for all eternity long, we'd find that there is no one like you. I have searched the world, Father, and thanks to you, I have not been killed by that search, but often I have been left dead and empty and wanting in every inquiry. But thankfully, I have experienced just the opposite with you. When I search you and I search your precepts through the Word of God, I am left filled with all the fullness of you. Thank you for not preaching these lessons at us. Thanks for letting us see these lessons for ourselves, and thanks for leading us to conclude that there is none like you. When all is said and done, Father, I am thankful that in your word we know that the testimony is this, that you, our God and Father, have given us the Zoe life, the eternal life, the resurrection life, and this Zoe life is given to us in union with your Son. Thank you for making us alive in this dead and dying and dark kingdom you placed us in for our education and for pressure, for your name's sake. I pray that all who hear these words today are edified by them, and I pray that they may know, as I do, that you have a plan for all mankind and you have a plan for each of us personally. And I pray that there may be speed in their discernment, that there is no one who can fill us all in all but you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today's study, Romans chapter 1, prayer is only for everything. Prayer is only for everything. So, Brett, thank you very much for being our guest. You know, I didn't know that I was going to have to invoke Robert's Rules of Order if I turned the mic over to you. The delegate from Salem. Wait, is this on? For what would the delegate from Salem, Oregon, Aflac, like to be recognized? Sir, I'd like to sing a song. Okay, no sound checks, no credits to your brother, no strumming before you start the song, and no starting an octave low so that you can come in higher. None of that. Thank you very much. If you do any of that, we are going to turn off your microphone in the finest of Chicago style. I am from the Mayor Daley era in Chicago. Thanks for coming down. We really appreciate it. You're a fantastic guitarist. Your voice, you know. I don't know, bro. No, I'm messing with him. I loved him. I already told him. Well, I want him to come down here. And he can bring Jen, too. Yeah, exactly.
I think it says it in the Bible somewhere.
It does. But no, thanks very much for coming down. We really appreciate it. You got a great voice and a great guitar and some fantastic lyrics and the kind of lyrics that we're edified by. And we really appreciate what you did for us. Let's begin today's study with a few announcements. The first is mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is November 10th, 2013. That's next week. And Deacon Elliot Clark will deliver the Lord's Supper message that day. I am so excited about hearing what he has to say about our look back at the cross. Mark your calendars, no face-to-face Bible study December 8th and December 29th. And on December 8th, you will get lessons from the deacons, so you'll have three lessons up for that. Yeah, exactly. That's my feeling exactly. You can count on the deacons for 45 minutes of lesson in a 65-minute segment. They're always really good at coming through that way, and so I'm looking forward to that. And you'll also have techno music, which will drive you a little bit crazy. We did a study on the internet, and we found out that there is more fast-forwarding during the music segment of a deacon lesson than any place in the history of mankind. Available free of charge for Barah Ministries, because we don't charge for the Word of God. Video lessons, audio lessons, pastor's notes, podcasts, app, the Android app, CDs on request, and Bibles on request. And we have some of those items back here in the back for those of you who are in the resident congregation today, and so feel free to help yourselves. Some birthdays. Happy birthday to Steve Morris, whose birthday was August 8th. Steve is a... Steve is a comedian on cruise ships, and he's a member of our soon-to-be resident congregation. He actually lives in the Quad Cities area. I think he lives in Davenport. And he is a really, really funny guy. And he said that he was very disappointed that we didn't have his birthday up August 8th. I blame Denise, of course, for that. And he said, well, the only reason I listen to you guys is for the birthday message, so I would really appreciate it if you get it up. So there it is, Steve. Happy birthday to Pastor John Farley yesterday, one of our close personal friends. Happy birthday to, this is Deacon Birthday Month, by the way, so first up on the docket is Deacon Caleb Alburn, who had a birthday yesterday. Next up on the docket is Deacon Denny Goodall, who have a birthday November 6th. And last, but certainly not least, Deacon Elliot Clark on November 19th. Yeah, that is the only birthday message you're getting, so you better enjoy it right this second. And then we missed one. Happy anniversary to Larry and Pat Collins, who celebrated 51 years of marriage on October 20th. And one of the most exciting things that has happened since I've been the pastor of Broad Ministries is that Larry and Pat are moving down to Phoenix. They closed on a house last week, and we are really, really excited to have them come here. Broad Ministries is on Pal Talk. On Sundays, we stream live. A replay of Barah Ministries lessons on Pal Talk happens Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today, the rest of the world clicked out of daylight savings time and back to the normal time. So that now means that there is the normal spread of hours between the different zones of our country. So 8 p.m. Central Time means 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific. So that makes the Pal Talk streaming and replay of the lessons perfect for everybody in each of the time zones now. So it's easy to listen to Barah Ministries on Pal Talk. You simply sign on to www.paltalk.com. You download the software with the click of a button. You choose a nickname. You sign into the Barah Ministries room and listen. And I highly recommend that if you haven't tried that, you do. And I know Pat and Larry would appreciate it. Our new home is the Hilton Chandler, 2929 West Fry Road in Chandler, 85224. The phone number is 480-899-7400. And you can check the website front page for meeting times and meeting details. Any contributions you'd like to make by direct payment authorization, and that is a great way to set it and forget it. See Deacon Elliot Clark. We are in a position to do that. Beginning next week, we are dropping lesson one. So there will be no more 7:45 a.m. lesson beginning next week. So I am really looking forward to that because next week, because Deacon Elliot is doing the Lord's Supper, this is going to be a week where I only have one lesson to do. I am very happy about that because I'd like to see how the other 95% of pastors live. So this is going to be one week where I get to do that. And I'm not being bitter. I'm just telling you. Eventually, the early lesson will be replaced by a lesson during the week using GoToWebinar, or live at East Valley Medical College, or by audio only. And the calendar will indicate the dates and times of the midweek lessons as soon as we start to do that. We will make an announcement a couple weeks before they start, and then we'll get that started. Now let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark. Oh, no, wait. Don't clap for him yet. There's one other thing. So Raphael Vallejo came forward from Cuba. Rafael Vallejo from Cuba came forward to volunteer to be the, huh? What'd you say?
Sounds like Hebrew.
No, not Hebrew. Cuba. Cubano. Cubano, ¿verdad? Cuba. Oh, that's right. I got to do it faster. Cubans speak faster. Vallejo. Take it easy. That's part of my Cuban. Take it easy. So, anyway, Rafi, as we have affectionately come to call him, has volunteered to raise $2 million next year for our fundraising efforts. Let's give this man a hand. That is an amazing thing. And he wasted absolutely no time. As soon as he came in here today, I'm trying to get a little sip of my Starbucks. He's all up in my face. He says, look, I found this thing called the Foundation Center. Read this. And so here's what it says. One of the best resources for finding private grants for churches is the Foundation Center. And this company offers a subscription-based website that connects not-for-profit organizations with private companies or individuals who are willing to offer grants to those organizations. And the Foundation Center offers one of the most comprehensive and up-to-date databases on grants in the United States, and it also has a large number of resources, guides, and other materials that help churches compete for the money that is available to not-for-profit organizations. And I will tell you, so thank you very much for jumping on that, for pouncing on that like a puma really fast. We appreciate that tremendously. Now, here's the good news. That's the first piece of good news, right? Second piece of good news is he's going to assemble a team of five people. I'm going to be one of the people on the team. And did you know that I am a world-renowned consultant in customer development? Yeah, so that means that I am a great salesperson. And if you get me in a room with another person, and that person has a wallet, when we come out of that room, only one person will have the wallet, and it will not be that other person. Amen? Amen. All right, now let that be a lesson to all of you guys, that if you find stuff like this and you get me in a room, we're going to come out with the money.
Does that come from sales or the street?
Both. The question was, does that come from sales or the street? Both. I'm going to first try sales, and then if I have to, I'm stealing it. Amen? But that's okay, because I'll just go confess my sins and everything will be fine. Don't get bitter. I didn't make all that stuff up. Don't jump me. So anyway, this is a great start. And Rafi, really appreciate it, because we're going to get that $2 million. And it's going to come from the thousands of organizations that are dying to fund an organization like ours, to fund a church like ours, to get us up to speed. And we're really excited about that. The plans for the church are coming along very well. And as a matter of fact, the next step in that is that the people who are going to be part of the building committee, and I'll announce that committee next week, will be meeting with our architect, because he's at the point where he's ready to take our input so that he can funnel it into his drawings. So we're really excited about the future of Barah Ministries and the things that we're going to be doing together. So thanks for taking that on, and you've got a friend in me. And we're looking for three other people who would be interested in being on that committee. These are people who would really be good at research and at teeing us up and getting us in front of people who have the wallets so that we can get them. As a matter of fact, several of my clients, we have a running joke between us, and then whenever I go talk to them about a problem they're having, they just take their wallet out and put it on the desk, because they know what's about to happen. And that's what happens when you're in the hands of a professional. So, amen? All right. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark to take the offering. He's a chip off the old street block.
This is going to be kind of ironic, because my message is about giving and not getting. Well, we were just talking about getting wallets, but... So here at Barah Ministries, even though we have the right to charge for the many things that we provide, we don't, and we choose not to exercise that right. Therefore, no price appears on any of the material here at BarahMinistries.com that allows anyone, anywhere, to freely receive of the Word of God. I graduate from Arizona State University in May. Clap, please. Yeah. All right, that's all I got. No. I graduate in May, and one of the things that I've come to find from talking to a lot of my classmates and even from myself is there's a lot of internal pressure on figuring out the next step. You know, one of the most paralyzing questions that people ask is, what are you going to do after you graduate? And usually what I've found is people will have an answer, and then if you question maybe one or two more questions, then they get stumped. And I can't speak for all graduates, but I know for myself that I want to be successful in my life. And I get worried sometimes about my future. And I came across a quote the other day. It said, "Try not to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value." And this was said by Albert Einstein. And it occurred to me after reading this that we define success by what we add to ourselves. We define success as the accomplishment of a goal. And in this world, usually it's by the accumulation of wealth, or at least in my mind. That's how I define success. But conversely, a person of value is not concerned with what he adds to himself, but rather what he gives. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, "Have this attitude in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." You know, Lord Jesus Christ came here to this earth to empty himself. Emptying himself was what he considered success. And even Satan tried to sell him at one point the world's definition of success. Remember, he said, "All these things, all the kingdoms of the world, I will give you if you bow down and worship me." And God said back to him, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And when you're being a person of value, you seek to empty yourself as well. And oftentimes we're afraid to do that. You know, for me, I'll look at my wallet and I see $40, you know, two $20 bills. I'm like, man, if I give that 20, I'm not going to have enough for a sushi dinner, you know. And those things go through my mind. I mean, these are real thoughts that go through our mind. And we're afraid to let go because we think that if we give or if we empty ourselves, that all of a sudden we're going to lose. In regards to Broad Ministries, you give because you value, because of the value that God has established in you. And you give because of the fact that you value this ministry. I think it's awesome that Rolfie volunteered for that. I don't know if you volunteered, if he volunteered you. But either way, I think it's awesome. And I think you're going to do a fantastic job. And so remember, as you give because of the value that God has established in you and because it's something that you want to do. Thank you.
All right, take a 5-minute break, and when we get back, we'll look at Romans chapter 1. Prayer is only for everything. 5-minute break.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, prayer is only for everything. Prayer is only for everything. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. Prayer is only for everything. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ is really good at challenging phony people and phony things. In Matthew chapter 23, he challenges phony people, but in Matthew 21, he challenges a phony thing. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18, here's what it says. Now in the morning, when the Lord Jesus Christ was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to the fig tree, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Now here's what happened. Fig trees will leave, and then the fruit comes behind it. Or actually, I think it's the opposite of that. I think the fruit comes first and the leaves come behind it. But this fig tree was faking everybody out with the leaves, but there were no figs. Verse 21, so seeing this thing that the Lord did, and what the Lord did is take the phony out. Seeing this thing, the disciples were amazed, and they asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Matthew 21:21, the Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. Mountains are obstacles. Matthew 21:22, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. As we move through the study of prayer, it highlights another area worthy of study, and that area is faith. Oh, wait, we just studied faith. Well, it's a good thing we did. We studied faith and unbelief, and it's a good thing we did because faith is a requirement in prayer. Or said a better way, faith is the critical ingredient in prayer, according to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, which says this, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Pistuo, believing, faith, same word, you will receive. Now, has anyone ever told you that? And when you pray, do you think about that? Or do you pray with doubt? Faith. What is faith? It's an expression from your volition, from your ability to choose. And what you say is, I believe. And that is the critical ingredient in prayer. When you pray, God expects you to have faith. He expects you to say, I believe. Now, in whom does God want us to have faith? He wants us to have faith in Him. And in what does God want us to have faith? He wants you to have faith in His ability to deliver anything you ask. You see, That's the funny thing about people. You know, I think that there's something that we just don't get about God. Because we are so inculcated with the religious thought that is part of Satan's kingdom. And so we expect that if we get into something, we should know it right away. I'll never forget, I was teaching a friend of mine to drive a stick shift. And she was just so frustrated. And you know, and I'm pretty calm. I mean, I could be a driver's ed teacher, and I was doing the driver's ed teaching without the break over on the other side, which is, you know, in essence, what it is just putting your life in your own hands. When you try to teach a fixed mindset how to drive a stick shift. And what a fixed mindset thinks is every characteristic is inborn. And that it should be inborn that you know how to drive a stick shift. It's not inborn that you know how to drive a stick shift. You have to learn it. Nothing is inborn as it relates to skill. You have to learn it. And so what? She didn't want to learn. She expected everything would just be magic and it would just happen without any mistakes in the learning process. That's not how it goes exactly. There are mistakes. So when you start off in some new venture, I'll tell you two things that are going to happen. What's going to happen inside of you is you're going to think you're totally inadequate. And that's going to last 3 years. You're going to think you don't even belong in whatever the venture is, and you're totally inadequate. And all you're going to be looking at is the mountains. All you're going to be seeing is the inadequacy. And then if when you're feeling that inadequacy, you want some feedback, you're going to go to people, and they're going to look at you and say, you know, I don't know. I just don't see it. I mean, I see all the holes, and they're going to tell you all the mountains they see, and what are you going to do? Your mountain viewpoint combined with their mountain viewpoint, and you're going to just go put a pistol in your mouth and pull the trigger, right? Because that's the way the world works. It discourages you. So that's been my whole life. People have been telling me my whole life what I can't do. You guys, you look at me and you say, oh, he's talking about this $2 million. That's not realistic. You're damn right it's not. It's absolutely unrealistic. And that's why God put me in this slot as the pastor, because I am Mr. Unrealistic. And we're going to find the money. And we're going to build that building debt-free to the glory of God, and we're going to fill it. And that's real unrealistic. I'm Mr. Unrealistic. Amen? And so there's this one thing where you're trying something new and everybody's telling you it ain't going to work. You're not being realistic. Or how about the time when you try the thing and you just fail at it? And you try and try and try. And no matter how much you try, it just doesn't work out. And you can't seem to find the hole, and so you see the wall, that mountain, and you take your head, and this is what human beings do. They take their head and they bang it up against the wall, and then their head gets bloody, and they look at themselves in the mirror, man, my head's bloody, and then they bang their head up against the wall again. They bang it up against the wall, and they keep banging it up against the wall like they're going to somehow break down the wall with their head, but the only thing that's getting broken down is their head because it keeps bleeding more and more. And that's why we have Obamacare. For all the people in the world who keep banging their heads up against the wall. If they would just slide down the wall, they would fall into the opening called the next level. But why? Because anything you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. God is a specialist in your inadequacy. He is a specialist when you're inadequate. And that's what made Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, right after he had gone to the third heaven, one of three is the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Amen? Amen, Jen? Jen? Amen, sister. The third heaven. After he had gone to the third heaven and seen stuff that he was not supposed to see, things that he could not come back and tell us, he realized that his strength only occurred when he was weak. Because when we are weak, that's when we're strong. Because the power of God propels us. And therefore, he said, I would rather boast about my weaknesses. Said another way, anything you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believe. That's all God asks of us. In whom does God want us to have faith? Him. And what does God want us to have faith? In his ability. Not yours, his ability to deliver anything you ask. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, our God and Father, who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the enabling power that works within us. That's beautiful. To God, our Father, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. You can't imagine enough. You can't tap out the magnificent things that God wants to provide for you. I am living a life far beyond my wildest dreams. My wildest dreams occurred by the time I was 40. That was a long time ago. All this stuff now is way beyond my wildest dreams. And we aren't finished. We aren't finished. And you know what? That's what happens to men as they move on in their lives. They start listening to all that crap that's on TV, and they start phoning life in. Oh, man, it's time to retire. I retire. And you can just see them, just all their spirit goes out of them. But Peter Drucker, a world-famous consultant who probably died at 9,000 years old, I didn't even know he was dead. The guy was just, he lived and lived and lived. And he used to say, you know, I've repotted myself a lot of times in my lifetime. What does that mean? When a plant's in a bowl, the roots grow, and then at a point, you have to get it out of that bowl and put it in a new bowl, or it'll become root-bound. And so you break the bowl from around it and put it in a bigger pot, and then it keeps growing. That's men. Men were not meant to retire. Men don't do well in retirement. It's not good for us. Women either. Why? Because that's not God's plan for you. He said you will work. He did not say you will retire. Satan says you will retire. And so as we go on in age, we start winding it down, torquing it down. And we start bending over when we walk, get some exercise. And then we start walking, oh, I got osteoporosis and I got the piles. And we start talking about our health incessantly. That's horrible. And my deductible. My copay. I'm loving PT, by the way. You know, I'm starting to wind it up again. You better watch it, baby. I'm just about there. I got no strength yet. I can't hit the ball. That might not be a bad thing, though. Yeah. Big time. Balance and tempo. That's going to make Mike so mad when I just get up there, because I used to be violent, you know? It's going to make him so mad when I get up there and I say, Mike, I'm not as strong as I used to be, man. And I just hit this nice little easy thing like 320 yards right down the middle. He's going to be so mad. Mike's competitive. He always tries to pretend like he's not competing with me on the golf course. He's always watching everything, counting my strokes. He thinks I don't know.
Yeah, you can't count them this time.
You see, that I have to use the pulpit to pull out this latent hostility that my golf partner has been carrying around for a year. Amen? We can't imagine deeply enough to cover what God has planned for us. But as we get older, we start listening to the world. And we start fading and torquing it down. Instead of going and getting a book about an 80-year-old guy who reinvented himself. And there are a lot of books like that where people talk about what they did to reinvigorate their lives. And they're having much more fun than they ever had as young people. Because we're so much more competent in our 60s, 70s, and 80s than we ever were in our 20s. We're so much more competent, so much more freewheeling. But we start believing the world, and we don't believe our God who says, I'm able to do for you abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. So ask me, and then believe, and you will receive. When? Every time. But what's the fine line, though? bit where it gets to be too much axing. Where's the fine line? There isn't one. There isn't one. Ephesians 3:20, now to him, our God and Father, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the enabling power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church age and in union with Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. There is only one requirement of being a Christian. There is only one requirement of being a Christian. What is it? Believe. Faith. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I believe. A thief hanging on a cross had the presence of mind to say, I believe. Remember me. It's the only requirement. See, God does everything in ones. All right? You're born physically alive and spiritually dead, and I just want you to do one thing. Hear the gospel message and believe. That's all I need you to do. And when you say, I believe, what are you saying? You're saying, God, I get it. That you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond anything I could ever ask or think. And so in the matter of my salvation, save me. In the matter of the Zoe life, lead me. Give me. Help me. I believe. That's all it takes to be a Christian. But that's not what religion teaches. Religion teaches you to have faith in yourself by working hard. I want to earn eternal life. I feel a warmth in my belly. That, you didn't take your Prilosec, all right? I feel this warmth in my stomach. Legalism teaches you to make a better you. Every day, just get 1% better. The Bible teaches if you believe, you will receive whatever you pray for. You don't even believe that. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You've been indoctrinated by the world system. Well, I do, Pastor, I kind of believe it, but... Oh, wait, let me see that verse. Put that back up there, Elliot. It says, all things you ask in prayer, but, is that what it says? Oh, what does it say? It says, believing you will receive. And see, I believe that. I believe it because I've seen it, and I just laugh when people doubt. I laugh. When they work. And then when they get to that point where all their working didn't work, and then what happens? The boys look at each other. You ready? Give it to them. Sorry. I love that. I love seeing that. And when that happens once, you go, luck. When that happens about 100 times, you start laughing too. You go, look, my bank account is empty. Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's funny. And the next day it isn't. I had a buddy I was telling you about, was talking to me about his financial situation. I said, I tell you what, you're having trouble? Go in your checkbook, and whatever the amount is, write Barah Ministries to check for half of that and send it right now. Now, what do you think he probably heard? Ah, you churches, you're always grubbing for money, right? Oh, I'm gonna break this. You're always grubbing for money. And what he should have heard is, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you'd say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible to you, because anything you ask in prayer, believing, you're going to receive it. That's what he should have heard. If you believe, you will receive whatever you pray for. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. See, the fig tree that the Lord Jesus Christ came upon, it's like Israel. It's like Israel. It professes to be fruitful by displaying leaves, but it is fruitless, and especially in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they can be seen by men. And truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, not seen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetitions like the Gentiles do, the unbelievers do. They suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. The fig tree is like you. Often we profess to be fruitful as Christians. We faithfully attend Bible study, yet when adversity hits, we display unbelief by counting on ourselves for the solutions to the impossible and to the improbable. The fig tree is like you in another way. Often we profess to be fruitful as Christians, faithfully attending Bible study, yet we don't inquire in prayer about our spiritual gift, and we don't develop our individual ministries as a contribution to the larger ministry that we're part of, and we don't proclaim our faith throughout the whole world. And this is not condemnation. And you're immature if you hear it that way. It is a call to action that demands attention from your ears. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what God the Holy Spirit, not Rory, is saying to the churches. The Holy Spirit is calling on you to wake up to the gift that he has given you and to create a ministry that has power in the lives of someone other than you. And you shouldn't have to be told to do that. That should be something that is so burning inside of you that you can't wait to do it. And you don't get to play. Well, there's a fine line, really, because what is a spiritual gift, really? I mean, how many does a person have? That's booger rubbing. You pick your nose, you get a booger, you rub it, it disappears, and then you stare at your finger wondering where it went. That's booger rubbing. That is not Christianity. Amen? Where did it go? But how many spiritual gifts do you have? And where's the fine line? The Lord Jesus Christ set aside the Jews for a period of time when he came to earth and tabernacled among us, but he did not take away the promises that he had made to them. He made five promises to them, and those promises will be fulfilled. We set aside our own spiritual lives by being influenced by religion and legalism and by the world system of thinking, forfeiting our faith in God instead of putting our faith in ourselves. But there is only one requirement for being a Christian. What is it? To believe. Faith for salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone for the Zoe life. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to those mountains, move from here to there, and they'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Matthew 21:22, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you believe, you will receive what you pray for. It's about time that we as Christians remember this simple but powerful message. If you believe, you will receive whatever you pray for. Prayer, however, is only for everything. Everything you want, everything you need, and everything you could ever imagine. And then God's going to give you beyond what you could ask or think. That is the life that your Savior imagined for you in eternity past. And I'm going to ask you something. Do you see yourself as the star in that movie? Do you see yourself as the star in that movie? Because I guarantee you, you've got a pastor who sees himself as the star in that movie. And it took a long time. It's going to take a long time. That doesn't happen overnight. No, it happens absolutely overnight. It is a decision, not a process. And the decision is simple. What's the decision? Believe. And that's it. Then get the hell out of the way and let God do the rest. Amen? All right, closing song, Take My Hand. What happened, bro?
Listen up, beloved children. Hear what the Spirit has to say. Good works, divine.
Yeah. Norbert, that's it. That's the one. Norbert has requested that June and I do a duet. That's the one.
Yeah, you need a little practice.
No, I know. I know, but it's okay because anything I ask in prayer,
believing,
I will receive. Amen. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us the weapon of prayer. Thank you for giving us the faith to believe. Thank you for giving us everything that we need, and thanks for giving us everything that we want, and thanks for giving us everything that we would ever imagine. And I pray that you make us aware daily, moment by moment in our souls, of this magnificent thing that we have at our disposal that you've given us, called faith. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. I don't know.